High Desert Baptist Church. Glad you are here this morning. Welcome. We got a lot of visitors today and glad to have them. Glad to have Rosa back with us. It's been a while. Praise the Lord for that. And I see the worship team is full of vim and vigor this morning, so that's good. Got a few announcements to make, and of course it's Thanksgiving week, so I do wish all of you a very happy Thanksgiving, a safe one, and looking forward to that. We are going to be leaving right after the service, my family, and we're going up to Oregon, taking our two granddaughters home. It's kind of a dual purpose, so you know we've had Alyssa and Eva here for a couple of months, and we're taking them home, so we're going to spend Thanksgiving in Oregon and then come back. And I'll be back next Sunday, so but I'll be gone all week. But if any of you are traveling, I do pray for you as well, that you have safety and just a wonderful week as we kind of specifically turn our eyes towards the Lord for all the great things He has done. As a result of it being Thanksgiving week, basically there's nothing happening here at the church all week with the exception of Monday, correct? The Bible study that's Monday afternoon, is it at 1? At 1 o'clock, that is going on, but that is it. The men's group is done till January. The ladies' group has been done, and it's not going to start till January as well. So enjoy your week. A week from tomorrow, which is the 29th, that's when we're going to decorate the church for Christmas. Yep, Christmas is on the horizon here. And my favorite time of the year. All the commercialism, you know, just gets me. But anyway, that's another story. But November 29th at 10 o'clock, if you can be here to help decorate and all that, we would appreciate that. We do that every year, and it's a good time. We have a lot of fun trying to hang all the decorations up according to Lynn's specifications, yes. Everything must be perfect, so...
Not straight from that line.
Yeah, that garland has got to be horizontal. So anyway, come, we have a good time, and we have lunch as well, you know, when we do this. So come for that. And speaking of Christmas also, the annual after Christmas party, okay, is on the 30th. Which is a Thursday. We're doing it Thursday evening at 6:30. There is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. And all we're asking from you is $5 a person. And we're going to supply all the food and the fun and the singing, the games, all the stuff that we do. We have a good time. But we are having it in the church here, and as you can see, it's not the biggest place in the world, so we have a limit of 64 people. We're going to have 8 tables, and so you need to sign up, and you need to give your $5 to Lynn, okay, for each person. And then you will come and have a great time that evening. It starts at 6:30 and it gets over when it's over. So
charge me 10.
Well, you know, you're special. You eat more. Is that Eric or Juan? Juan. Wow, Juan's full of vim and vigor this morning too. Wow. There is a ministry up in Wrightwood. It's called Kiki's Charity. And they have a opening. It's a full-time position, but it is a nonprofit, so I'm not sure, you know, what the pay is or the benefits. Yeah. Worldly pay and benefits. I mean, there's a lot of spiritual pay and benefits to it. But they need a person. It's like a 40-hour week and all that. And so if you are interested... The information is on the bulletin board somewhere. I posted it somewhere over there. So I talked to the lady the other day, and I said, well, I don't know if we have anybody that'd be interested, but I'll certainly hang it up on the board. She's actually calling evangelical churches only and saying, hey, you know, we have an opening. And it has to do with being on the phone and online and getting support for missionaries or something in Bangladesh or something like that. I don't quite remember. But anyway, it's up there, and you can look at it, and there's a phone number you can call her, you know, and say, hey, what's, you know, if you had more questions. So anyway, that opportunity is there as well. There's a box of glasses on the table in the hall. Some of them are sunglasses. Some of them are magnifiers. None of us ever need magnifiers, right? But Harvey wears 3 pair. Maybe you can find one and only wear 1 pair.
No, I scratch them, so I don't care.
But these are brand new, and they're free. So just if you find something there you like, take it. And then lastly... we will be having the memorial service for Lori DiGilio. Is that how you pronounce it? And, you know, Dick and Lorna's daughter. And it's Saturday, December 4th at 12 noon. And, of course, everyone at the church is invited, anyone that knew her or knows the Moores and want to support them, you are invited. It's going to be at noon. There's going to be food, and we are supplying the food. And so if you would like to help with that, see Vicki. Okay? And then we will come together celebrate her life and also, you know, mourn with along with Dick and Lorna over their loss as well. But so that will be a special time. So Saturday the 4th at 12 noon. Anything else? All right. Scripture for today, Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no man, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you this morning. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Father God, this week of Thanksgiving, I just lift up everyone here, every family represented here. Lord God, I pray that you'd bless them. I pray you'd protect them. I pray you'd provide for them, Lord. And Father God, I lift up the service today to you. May you be pleased, Lord. May you be praised, Father, for you are worthy. You are worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship, worthy of our singing, worthy of our speaking, worthy of all that we do. You are worthy, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome hang on a second. I never can remember her, Rosa.
I do have one more announcement.
Oh, okay.
There is a celebration over in the youth room after the service. Everyone is invited.
Oh, okay.
It's a surprise.
Anyway,
they shut down.
As we get going on this one here, happy Thanksgiving from my family to you, to everyone here, and safe travels to those that are, this is going crazy. Anyway, safe travels to those of you that are traveling, especially the pastor. He's got a long way to go the next couple of days. So let's all put him on the top of our prayer list, or them, rather. All right, sing with us. Mighty Just Save.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. Everything I believe in, now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty.
searching for answers. Only you provide, as you know, just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
This time of year, we should be counting our blessings. And we all got a lot to be blessed for. We are blessed, and we got a lot to count for. Sing with us, count your blessings.
When upon life fill you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly. And you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has. See what God has done.
so many blessings I cannot find. Your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So if they come, whether great or small, don't not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings in them one by one. Blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Amen. And we got a lot of guests here today, so those of you that are members, greet them. Stand and greet somebody. Tell them it's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. It's happy Thanksgiving Day to all. Good to see you.
Good morning, Juan.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Good morning, Rosie. Good morning.
Time of year, we like to do this song. Stand with us as we sing.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made.
Special song we're going to do for you today, and Eric's going to start it off. I think it's going to be kind of a kick because I agree with this song.
Yeah.
I think everybody up here agrees, and once you hear it, I think you're going to agree with it. It's called The Day After Thanksgiving.
There's still plenty of leaves golden on the trees, hoodies, blue jeans, and everywhere except the mall.
I don't want to hear about Santa Claus calling.
No,
no silver bells or a thunder drum is calling. I don't want to see an inflatable nothing to the day after Thanksgiving.
You got a dare here.
Praise the Lord. You know, Dave and Pat are okay. Pat tested negative. Dave tested positive, but he's doing fine. And he set all this up so that even I could turn it on, and it all worked. So he is a mighty miracle worker. Made it all happen. So, but I think he'll be back next week. So, with that, continue in Matthew as we go verse by verse through the book of Matthew. And, you know, it was Thanksgiving week, and so you're, you know, you think, okay, Thanksgiving message, something like that. And I was looking at these verses, which was my next section in going through the book of Matthew, and I realized really how perfect this passage was for this particular Sunday. With Thursday being Thanksgiving, this encounter between Jesus and the man struck with leprosy, it really serves to remind us of why Christians truly have so much to be thankful for. And so we're going to look at this passage, and we'll just get right into it. Verse 1, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And in verse 1, we see the timing of the meeting. The timing of the meeting. Jesus has just finished speaking. He just finished the Sermon on the Mount, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And his words were astonishing to the people that heard them. He contradicted in many ways and then added to in many ways things that the Pharisees had been teaching. And so these are people that have heard certain teachings all their life, and then Jesus just goes into this whole thing, what we call three chapters in the book of Matthew, 5, 6, and 7, but what it means to be a follower of Christ. And he's gone into this. And he spoke these words to these people. Multitudes were on the mountain. And you got to get the picture. You know, he's on the mountain. He's speaking. There's a lot of people there. And he speaks with authority. He's not speaking as a teacher. He's speaking like God. Because that's who he is. And he speaks with this authority. But as great as those words are, authority doesn't mean much unless it's backed up with power. You know, you ever have the substitute teacher in school? You know, she comes in and she's not the regular teacher. Now, she has authority, but sometimes she don't have a lot of power. You ever have that one? Every time she came or he came, you just, you know, the class just turned that person every way but loose, you know? Because sometimes, you know, they have authority, but there's in the way they present themselves or whatever, there's no power there. No power to control the class. And Jesus spoke some tremendous words, and people liked what he had to say. But did he have the power to back it up? Now, of course, you know, we got the book, we can read it, and we say yes. But it's amazing the timing of this, because the timing of this meeting with this man, it's the first in a series of miracles recorded by Matthew where Jesus demonstrates his power. He demonstrates the visible, unmistakable evidence of his divine kingly power in order to validate the authority by which he spoke. And it's no accident that this happens. It says, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper. Verse 2. There came a leper and worshipped him. Now get this, you know, he's up there and he just got through saying some things, powerful things. And everybody's mind is probably boggled, you know, by all the stuff they just heard. And then here comes this leper and begins to worship him in front of everyone else. And we see the trust of the man. The trust of the man. It says he came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Here's a guy that had leprosy. And, you know, we're not real familiar with leprosy. We've all read it in the Bible. And you may have even seen, you know, there's things on TV once in a while about it. But in this society here, in this culture, this was a horrible, horrible thing. He was an outcast. He had a disease that alienated him from all people. The only people he could be around were other people with leprosy. Family, friends, neighbors, no one could be near him. They were forced to live outside the city, which kept them from the temple where they could worship God. The disease was incurable, and it ended in death. I would imagine, because Jesus was up on the mount, right? He wasn't in the city. I think this guy was there. I think this guy, you know, he may have wrapped himself up in some clothes and and maybe kind of got in the bushes or kind of snuck around to where he could just hear something. He may not have heard it all, but I'm sure he had to have heard something. And he heard Jesus speaking, and he trusted in what he heard. And now we see that he's putting his trust in Jesus. He believed Jesus was Lord and called him Lord. Look what he says. He said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." This guy realized he was dirty. He was diseased. And he called Jesus Lord. Do you understand this is the first time Jesus has been called Lord? And I think it's interesting that just previously in chapter 7, just at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says in verse 21, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord," this is Jesus speaking with authority, and he's looking at people and he's saying, you know, anyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, and isn't doing what I'm saying, you know, he's calling himself, he's referring to himself as Lord. I think this guy heard this. And he comes before Jesus and he says, "Lord." He puts his faith in him. "You can make me clean. You have authority. You have power. And you can make me clean." He says, "If you will, you can make me clean." He didn't say, "If you can, will you make me clean?" That's kind of how, you know, when I go to doctors, that's kind of, I'm like, well, you know, if you got something, you know, I'm willing to listen, you know, when you have a problem with something, whatever. I don't have a whole lot of faith in them. Especially these days. It seems like, good grief. I bet you just about everybody here knows somebody that they got something and nobody can tell them what's going on. You know, it's like, you know, they go and they're like, well, they think it might be this. Well, let's try this. So they put you on some drugs and then that doesn't work. So you go back, they try something else. But this guy, he heard the Lord and he believed. And he said, you know what? Not if you can, will you? It's you can if you want to. You can. If you want to. That's faith, folks. And he's leaving it up to the Lord, the sovereign. You know, we like to use that word sovereignty a lot. Oh, God is sovereign. You understand that, you know, we don't understand is the problem. We don't understand sovereignty because we've had the kind of government, you know, all these years where we have some say in it. Do you understand when someone's sovereign, you have no say? The sovereign God. Right? Life and death is in his hands. Think about Pharaoh. When Joseph had the dream, there was what was the baker and the cupbearer, I think, was the two guys that were in prison. And they both, you know, and Joseph had a dream about them. And sure enough, what did Pharaoh say? This guy dies, this guy's restored to his position. He's sovereign, he can do that. And that's exactly what happened. The one guy died, the other guy was restored to his position. That's what sovereignty is. And when we say that we are children of the living God and we've been adopted in His family and we believe in Him and He is Lord, we need to understand your very life is in His hands. He has the say. He has the power. He has the authority. And He has a will. And this leper submitted to all that. He said, "If you will, if it's your will, you can make me clean." This man had faith. And it brings us to verse 3. The touch of the Master. It says, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed." And get the picture here. Jesus touched this guy. I guarantee you, ever since that guy was found to have leprosy, no one had touched that guy. I guarantee it. They lived in isolation. They never got, and you know as well as I do, back in the days when we could go to the hospital and visit somebody. I mean, this nonsense that's going on, people need to be touched. When people are going through a hard time physically, they need someone to just, put the hand on the shoulder. Or when somebody's like, we're having a memorial for Lori soon. When someone's lost someone, I've dealt in a lot of those situations. Sometimes there's no words. There's no words you can say to make this person feel better. Except, those trite words that we already know. I mean, they're true, but it's like, well, God, whatever. We bring God into it, but someone's grieving. So sometimes all you can do is just walk up there and just give them a hug. Put your hand on their shoulder and just look them in the eye. You don't even have to say a word. Just show them that you care. The touch means so much. And people are being robbed of that. And you wonder why everything's going crazy. There's a consequence to doing things. We are social creatures. And God created us that way. And we need each other. And it's not good for man to be alone. And so Jesus, he broke all the rules. And he reached out and touched this man. What a moment. Can you imagine? Think about it. This guy's got leprosy and he's approaching Christ. And there's the multitudes that follow him. Can you just see the Red Sea parting? here comes a guy because they had to walk and they had to cover their mouth and go unclean, unclean, unclean everywhere they went. If they were around people. And can you just see the people just running? And Christ just stands there and lets him come to him. And the guy worships him. And then Jesus just, he's not afraid. He reaches out and touches him. He didn't heal him at that point. He touched him though. He reassured him. He said, you know what? I'm not afraid of your disease. This is all under control. This is all part of my Father's will. Because that's why it got written in this book. And he touched him. What an act of kindness. What an act of grace. And then Jesus spoke. He said, I will. It is my will. I will do it. And he said, be thou clean. Remember, if you read in Colossians, it tells us that, Jesus was part of the creation. He was the creator also. And in fact, it says that nothing was created except that he created it. So can you imagine? This was the same person that said, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be the sun and the moon. There's the sun and the moon. Let there be animals. There was animals. Let there be dry land. There was dry land. Let you be clean. Bam. Immediately, he was clean. Just like the creation. Let there be light. Bam. Light. You be clean. Bam. You're clean. Touch of the Master. Boy, there's some people that need to be touched. Sound like they're having fun. I understand there was going to be popping balloons or something in a minute. So if you hear that, it's not a gun. Okay, we just got back from gun camp. It's not a gun. It's just balloons. It's just balloons. So he was cleansed immediately. Then we come to verse 4, which is really the part where we're going to talk about this morning. Because this is about thanksgiving. And we see the testimony of the miracle. Jesus said to him, see that you tell no man, but go on your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them. Now, you got to realize this has never happened. This has never happened. There's only in the Bible that I found, I mean, there could be more, but I only found two instances of people being cured of leprosy prior to this. One was Naaman, the Syrian commander, that Elisha told him, go dip yourself in the Jordan and you'll be clean. And he was. The other was Miriam, which was Moses' sister, that doubted Moses, and God struck her with leprosy, and then Moses prayed or whatever, and she was clean. So here is something that's never been done, is he tells this guy, go to the priest. Go to the priest and give the gift that Moses commanded. And so Leviticus 14, and that's where we're going to spend some time. Probably spend some time finding it. Here we go. But Leviticus 14, I mean, even though to our knowledge, I mean, I guess somebody could have been cured of it, but it's not recorded for us. But the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, this is what happens if someone had leprosy and now they come to you and they say they're clean. This is what's got to happen. And it's Leviticus 14, and it's really the first 32 verses, but we're only going to look at the first 20 and not even all of them. I'm not going to go super deep into this, but boy, I want you to get the point of what you know, Jesus made a point of saying, go to the priest and do the things you're supposed to do. So this is important. He wouldn't have told him to do that. He was healed. The guy was healed. And yet, he still had to go and do the things that he was supposed to do. And so we're going to look at this, and I'm just going to kind of go through it. And hopefully it'll make sense. I'm going to try and make it. It's kind of a little complicated, but I'm going to try and make it simpler. And so we see in verse number 1 of Leviticus 14, it says, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. So this is what Jesus was talking about here. And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. So the leper is supposed to get, you know, I guess send somebody, whatever, the priest is going to find out. And the priest is going to come out of the city, and he's going to examine this guy. You know, he's going to pull the robe off or whatever and examine his skin. And it says, then, if he sees nothing, okay, skin looks good, okay. It says, then he shall command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean. So these are two birds that are accepted by God. They're clean. Because Levitical law, they had all the animals. I'm not going to go into all that, but two birds that are acceptable to God. And he says, you're going to take these two birds alive, and you're going to take some cedar wood, scarlet, like a cloth that's scarlet, okay, and hyssop. And the priest shall command, verse 5, one of the birds to be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Okay, so what do we got here? Well, cedar is like the king of wood in the Bible. It's like Solomon when he built his temple. Where did they go? The cedars of Lebanon. A mighty tree. Cedars are mighty trees. And really, it kind of illustrates pride. It's mighty. Okay. Scarlet. Blood, right? We're familiar with red, right? The blood of Christ. And then hyssop, which is a bush. Kind of a lowly bush that nobody cares much about. Humility. Because the only way you get to the Lord, the only way you can be saved, the only way that there is redemption of your sin is you got to humble yourself and say, you know what? I am unclean. Because you see, in the Bible, leprosy is a picture of sin. It's incurable. There's no cure. And it ends in death. And that's exactly what happens to us spiritually. When we are unclean, when we have not been cleansed by the Master's hand, it is incurable. You can't fix your sin. No one can fix your sin. But God can forgive you your sin if you ask Him. If you're humble. And then He says He kills one in an earthen vessel. And the blood is in the vessel. This is Jesus Christ. It's a picture of what Christ was going to do. He was going to be killed. He was going to be placed in an earthen vessel, wasn't He? He's putting the